Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
And here we are in the playbook for Thursday on Patriots.com radio, which means we're about ready to play football. Eric Scalavino, PFW, is here.
And I'm ready.
John. We're locked and loaded for this thing today, and I'll get to that in a moment. But you're right, this has been through the bye week and getting into this week. I'm grateful that we're playing a little earlier than maybe we normally would. There's not a Sunday game we have to wait for, that it will actually be Saturday night for whatever reason. But at the same time, I really am kind of ready to play this game. We need to kind of move on with this process, don't you think?
Yeah, me too. The only downside of that is, the Patriots win, we have to wait until Sunday night to find out if we're going anywhere. Because the Broncos don't play until their kickoff is 4:40.
So it'll be Sunday night before we know.
When did they make it that late?
I'm not sure. I'm sure it has everything to do with the NFL pregame shows and all the other garbage that goes on TV and playing the commercials and all that other stuff. So you're right. We won't know whether or not we get a home game or we have to travel to Denver if, of course, the Patriots win. And again, it sounds like it's a fait accompli. And I don't mean it to be. I don't mean to actually offend Colts fans, even though this is Patriots radio.
We have some that listen.
I know we do. We always, every week that we get ready to play, I know we have fans from the other teams that listen. They listen in. Why? Because every once in a while, we'll get an email. Every once in a while, I'll get a tweet. They may not call in because I assume that fans that are of other teams don't call in because they don't want to get hammered.
Yeah.
This is not what
this is.
That's
legitimate.
I can understand why you wouldn't, but we're not here to hammer. In fact, I would actually welcome calls from the other team just to know why they think the way they do. And maybe we can have some kind of a discourse about it, but that's okay because, reasonable people can agree to disagree. I certainly give the Colts a great chance to win this game on Saturday night. That being said, right now, I have been leaning toward the Patriots, and I've been leaning toward the Patriots regardless of who played in this game, whether it was Indianapolis or Kansas City. I frankly believed, honest truth here, initially I thought it'd be Kansas City that would be in here. I really did. And then
I thought it was Cincinnati.
Well, I can understand why you'd say that, and I would certainly have put Cincinnati probably ahead of Indianapolis. But I actually thought it would be Kansas City in here. And that was just kind of a late thought in my mind based on how things were breaking down, and when they got out to a 38-10 lead, I just thought, well, maybe it is going to happen. And then obviously you give Indianapolis tremendous credit for doing what they did, almost an historical comeback of sorts, just short of the 35-point comeback that Frank Reich Buffalo had back in 93. So, yeah, and I remember that one crushed me because I was a big Oilers fan back then, as you know. Love you, Blue. I follow the Oilers. My one-time classmate, Earl Campbell, was a, Hall of Fame running back for the Oilers. And, I love the Houston Oilers. Covered them in training camp for several years when Jerry Glanville was the head coach there. And let me tell you, that was a hoot and a holler in San Angelo, Texas, when it was 120 out on the turf during the day. And they had to, basically, when there were such things as two-a-days, Eric, they had to basically make sure they stayed out of the heat of the day. So they practiced very early in the morning and very late in the afternoon, early evening, almost sometimes under the lights, literally, because it was so stinking hot. Mm. I mean, I remember one year, I'm going to digress here because we're good at this.
That's fine.
One year, we're at Oilers training camp in San Angelo, and I said, you know what? It's hot enough to fry an egg. And so my photographer looked at me and he goes, let's go get one and do it. So I went into the commissary where the players went and I said, can you give me an egg? And, so they, gave me, and I should have asked for the frying pan, but what we did, it was so hot.
Pavement?
I did it right on the curb. Right on the curb, adjacent to the parking lot, right next to the practice field there at in San Angelo, where the Oilers practice, and I put the egg there, cracked it right on the open curb. I think it was probably around the time practice started in the morning. Came back after practice had ended for the day in the twilight of the evening, right? No, no, no. I let it go.
Oh, you did the whole
day? I let it go, and that sucker was fried solid, stiff.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was fried. It absolutely was fried. The yolk was solid, everything. And we're not talking about just because it had been out all day. Because if it had been out all day, it wouldn't have, you know, would not have solidified like that. So I did a television stand-up with it. And
to show? Yeah. Oh, that's great visual.
Yeah, you know, just to show how hot it had been for the Oilers. It was great. And we did the piece on you know, basically the players complaining how hot it was. Played a little Hot Times somewhere in the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. You know, that kind of thing. It was actually a fun piece to do. You know, we had fun with it because you always look for goofy things like that to do during training camp anyway to kind of entertain the non-football fans that watch during a 6 and 11 p.m. newscast. But that Jerry Glanville came into the truck because he wanted to see what we'd been doing because he had heard the rumor that we were frying an egg on the sidewalk. And we did that. He came into the truck, saw the piece. He came back out and he said, you know, after we saw that, we stayed watching. He was laughing. I've never seen him laugh so hard.
Really?
He came out and he says, that's the best thing I've ever seen done in a training camp.
Wow.
You know, and I took that as ultimate.
What a memory.
An absolute compliment. Yeah, it was a great memory. It's one of the good memories I actually have of working in local television.
Where is San Angelo in relation to Houston?
North and west. San Angelo is sort of where West Texas and the Panhandle meet. If you look at Texas geographically, mm-hmm. kind of out in the middle of that big, huge vastness of nothing. Wow, tumbleweeds
they
rocks.
Camp
and,
there,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On purpose?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I think so, yeah. It was out at Angelo State University, I believe, at the time. And, you know, and this is before Jerry kind of got wacko later in his years, but he actually ran a pretty good camp. Warren Moon was the quarterback, and, you know, so they had some pretty good guys on that team.
Was he leaving tickets for Elvis at that?
That was actually a little bit later.
That was in Atlanta.
Was it in Houston?
I believe.
I think he did that before he left the Oilers, if I recall. That's when some of the nuttiness, you know, some of the, what's a good way to put it? Some of the,
eccentricity?
Yes, thank you. That's a perfect word. Eccentricity. I figured you'd come up with that. Eccentricity of Glanville started to come out at the end of his Oilers regime. And, So that's one of my lasting impressions of the Oilers. That, and of course, rooting for the Oilers. They were up 38 to
35 to 3,
right, on Buffalo. And then they were outscored 38-3 in the second half.
I still, one of the greatest games I remember from when I was growing up. You know Lincoln Mall in Lincoln, Rhode Island?
Yeah, sure, yeah, absolutely.
I started watching that game at home. And then the Oilers got up big, and, you know, in the playoffs, usually the game that's on is the only game that's on, the way they schedule it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You have no choice. You have to watch whatever game is there. And so the game got out of hand, and my mom's like, oh, I'm going to go to the mall. I'm like, all right, I'll go along with you because this game's not going to matter. And by the time we got to the mall, it was like a Champs Sporting Goods, you know, one of those kind of places.
Yeah, right.
And they had TVs on in there. And we happened to be walking by and saw the score that they had caught up a little bit. It was probably they were only maybe down by like 3 touchdowns. And I'm like, oh, Bill's making a little bit of a game of it. We walked around, did a little shopping, came back. They were only down 7. So we were like, we stayed in this Champs just for a while to watch this thing unfold on the screen. And I'll never forget how just stunned everybody was, thinking, my God, they were down 32 points and they came back and won the game. Standing there in Lincoln Mall watching the final when was it
pretty amazing.
Steve Christie? Or was it Steve Christie that hit the game winner, right?
That sounds right. I honestly would have to go back and look at it again. But yeah, that does sound right. Absolutely. All right, so we've digressed enough. We'll jump into it here. Playbook on Thursday means Prediction Thursday, which means you have your chance to win another yearbook. We gave away 5 of them? Yeah, 5 of them when the Patriots played Miami earlier this year. We have not given one since or even prior in the 2 years to that game because of a 24-17 rather predictable score. So it's back on this week. We haven't done anything since then, haven't given one away since then. You have your chance, but let me suggest to you, get your cards and letters in quickly. Get your calls in quickly. If you want to call in your prediction, you can do so because we're locked and loaded today. In 15 minutes, Mike Wells, who is the Colts beat writer for ESPN. He will join us to talk about the Indianapolis Colts and look at the specific reasons as to why Indianapolis certainly has an opportunity to win this game on Saturday night. Hour number two, of course, our one and only Russell Baxter, pro football guru. He will join us here in the playbook. And then at the bottom of hour number two, Solomon Wilcox, who is an analyst on the NFL, on CBS, and certainly a few other places as well. He's going to join us to give us his two cents worth on this matchup as well as the rest of the divisional round playoff matchups coming up on this weekend. So we've got a lot of hopefully football knowledge coming your way. Let's start this off with, you know, practice report today. What you're hearing from the guys in the locker room. You just got back in here before you came and joined the tail end of the PFW program, as you always do. And what your sense is about these guys, and whether or not you kind of feel here, Eric, a little purpose behind this question here. Mm-hmm. Your sense of the younger guys in this locker room, because we have made a lot of the fact that this team has sort of morphed from a very experienced team to not so, even though I think the general perception is that it's still an experienced team because you have Bill and Tom. And it's really not when you consider the number of first and second year players that are on this roster that do not have this level of experience that they are about to step into. And whether you feel like maybe
even veterans like Danny Amendola,
who has not been a part of this before, should that be a concern here? So what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, the practice report, Dobson, the only guy who has not practiced this week. So, okay.
So
and he
didn't
practice last week, so you can take to the bank, he's not going to play.
Right.
That's unfortunate, but that's what happens when you don't practice. Mm-hmm. And he was spotted in a walking boot, one of those medical boots yesterday, so doesn't look good, at least for this week. Maybe next week will be a different story if they happen to make it past Indy, but for this week, that's about it. My sense, though, is that it's there have been a lot of players available to talk this week, which has been great, because there have been, as you would expect, a heck of a lot more media in attendance and a lot more people looking for stuff. Steven Gostkowski actually was one of the guys they brought to the podium today, and he was really, really good. Doesn't talk a whole lot, but when he does, he usually gives pretty good answers. And today was I think maybe the best he's ever been, which was nice to hear.
What was good about him today?
Just he gave thorough, well thought out answers, not the typical, boilerplate, two or three words and clam up kind of thing, but. And, a lot of players are often reluctant to talk about themselves because of what's hammered home here about, talk about the team. But as a kicker, you're kind of on an island with your two other specialists there, your holder and your snapper. And questions are going to be about you because that's yes, you're part of a team, but as an individual, that's one of the more individual positions you can play in football.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just very candid, very funny at times, and just it was an entertaining about 15 minutes, I think, he went, which was good. And you don't hear from the kicker that much, so it was nice to...
It's because he's a kicker.
Well, but he's important. He's won a lot of games.
Did you ever take offense to that, by the way?
Yes.
Why did I know you were going to answer in the affirmative? He's a kicker. Damn kickers. Those weirdos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not saying I'm not deserving of it, but I took offense to it.
Well, at least you're honest with yourself. I am who I am.
That's right.
As Popeye once said. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But my sense overall, though, is that I've seen far more confident locker rooms heading into big games like this.
Really? You mean from a New England perspective?
From a New England perspective,
yes. Okay,
yes.
Well, that actually doesn't really surprise me because you don't have too many guys who have walked this walk.
No, and a lot of the questions, too, have been like, what's it going to be like in your first playoff game? And it's a little bit of a subdued, I don't want to say wide-eyed, but there's a temperance to a lot of the answers that they're giving. There isn't a confident swagger that I've had sensed from other Patriots clubs.
There isn't a Brewski fired or a Brewski fueled swagger like there has been in the past.
No, not and certainly not a Rodney Harrison going around saying nobody respects us and no chip on the shoulder kind of thing. It's more of just kind of like, and the PR department has done a pretty good job with next game up. Have you seen the hashtag next game up and promoting that via our social media channels? And It's kind of the way I think they're approaching this. They're trying not to get ahead of themselves too much and just really taking the Colts seriously and focusing on this next game. I mean, that's the sense I'm getting from mm-hmm. John.
Got it. Okay. That's fair. And we always look for a little bit of insight. And I felt like, you know, since you're the one that's been spending all this time in the locker room with these guys this week, you know, in trying to get their stories, not only for PFW, but also to share with us here, only because I think it's important to get a mindset, to get where these guys are, just so we, you know, have a reasonable expectation of whether or not they're chomping at the bit or whether or not they're taking this wait and see attitude. Cause quite frankly, that might explain a lot of how they come out and start the game on Saturday. Mm.
Yeah, I think it might have been Logan Ryan yesterday was asked specifically about, you know, how do you take the advice of the veterans to recognize that this is playoff football, which is different than regular season football, which is even different than preseason football.
No question.
You know, the levels of intensity.
It's ramped up in intensity every step of the way.
And he was asked, so how do you balance that out with keeping your cool out there and just performing, doing your job, because at the end of the day, it's still a football game. You know, the rules aren't changing. It's still a game of you call the play, you execute
it. Right.
And that's kind of what he was saying is like, yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity. They drafted me. They said our goal is to get into the playoffs, and now it's here, and I'm excited to see what that's like. But I'm hearing that it's going to be a lot more intense. So it'll be interesting to see how they start with all of these younger new guys who aren't used to it. And if they do happen to get down double digits like they have earlier in this season, will they be able to bounce back?
I wonder if that might not be even a part of the game plan. Trying to basically ramp it up and make sure that everybody's, you know, juiced at the start. So maybe they play a little hurry up. Maybe they do something to try to get the blood and the adrenaline pumping, just because it is a different mindset. And if you're caught flat footed, there is really very little room for rescue here. Of course, the Colts come back against Kansas City notwithstanding.
Very true. And that's one thing that I think a lot of the players have responded to this week, right, as well, is that you can't count this Colts team out.
Oh, no.
No matter how much
you get them down 38-10, you had best believe they don't feel like they're out of the game.
No. And they shouldn't. They shouldn't feel like they're out of
the game. That's why this is going to be, I do believe, this will be, and Fred even mentioned it earlier, this is going to be one of those edge-of-your-seat games right to the very end. And it's the way this team has played all year long. So to think anything else really just means that you're not paying attention. If you think anything other than that, it means you're not paying attention, because this Patriots team has played close, whether it's through their fault, whether it's through their own fault or through the fault of the opponent, because they're not good enough, but they've played close every week. It's been right down to the wire. They've won some games that they shouldn't have won. They've lost some games they shouldn't have lost.
Very true.
So it's amazing that, frankly, they finished 12-4 like they did. So you got to feel like they probably had the benefit of the doubt where that's come in. They've certainly had their share of breaks and things go their way, which is good to know. But to think that this game will be anything other than, boggles the mind. To think that it could be, mm-hmm. Two touchdowns, three, four touchdowns, whatever. Now, the only game, the only exception here is Baltimore. And I would tell you that Baltimore, it was a 20-7 game. And then when Baltimore, in the fourth quarter, when the Patriots kicked that last field goal, they gave up. And then the Patriots got a couple of cheapies thereafter, and that was it.
Right.
And so that's how games turn into routes. And the only way that this game would turn into something like that is if either, and I don't think it's going to happen from the Patriots' perspective, and I certainly don't think it's going to happen from the Colts' perspective, because the Colts know that they can come back from 28-point deficits. They've learned from that, and they're still alive today because of that. So because of that, in all honesty, I'm looking for the proper terminology here. I think that, it's absolutely ridiculous to think that, you know, you would think anything else other than that being a close game. And
unfathomable?
Unfathomable would be a good one. Where are you? I need to carry you around in my back pocket when I need to reach for my thesaurus, you know?
Something like that. Small enough. It probably could fit.
Damn kickers. All right, here you go. 855-PATS-500. That's the toll-free number, 855-PATS-500. 500. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Obviously, web radio at patriots.com. The email address, you can also tweet us at JR Broadcaster. And you can send the Facebook message as well, John.Rook on Facebook. Ernest in Washington, D.C. joined us in the playbook. Is this the same Ernest that's great buddies with Rich Chivatkin?
Yes, it is.
Ernest.
I'd like to personally thank you, John.
Well, it's...
I'd like to thank you for the you know, actually stage shocked right now. I can't even believe I'm on the air with John Rook. Hey, Eric, what's up?
How you doing, Ernest?
Well, it's nice to hear from you. Rich is one of my dear friends in this you know, sometimes cruddy business of broadcasting. And when he asked me that yesterday, I was floored. So it's my pleasure. I just hope that I didn't, you know, devalue the piece of paper.
Oh, this
that
is
was
the
this is the Ernest that I wrote the autograph
to. Oh, from the Georgetown game.
I told you we have a listener in Washington D.C. that's a big fan of the program and of Patriots.com. Right.
All right. Okay. Now
big fan. Big fan.
All right. Putting two and two together now.
So we were at work on Monday, and I said, you know, my birthday is on Tuesday, January 7th. So
hey,
happy birthday.
Mine was the day before.
You. Happy birthday to both of you, old geezers.
Oh, hey, stop it now.
So I was telling Rich, everyone knows I'm a big Patriot fan here, and I, you know, I have a huge Tom Brady poster in my office and everything. And, you know, Rich said, I'm going to have dinner with the voice of the Patriots, you know, and I said, John Rook? And he's, yeah. Wow. You know, I couldn't believe it. You know.
Oh, so. Rich is, he is, listen, first of all, Rich is good people. He is as genuine as the day has come. I love him because he's a little quirky and because he's full of energy at 68 years old.
Yeah.
He's been with the Hoyas now program for almost 50 years. He's a marvelous human being to sit and have conversation with. You wouldn't know it by looking at him that he's 68. You'd think by looking at him he's probably about 30 years younger. Am I right, Ernest?
Right. You are right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an unbelievable human being, and he's electric as a broadcaster. Some people would call him a homer, but he's a one-man band for the Hoyas. And I will tell you this, he's seen a lot of great players from Patrick Ewing and beyond through the years. And what I will tell you this is he is genuine.
He does the game solo?
He does the game solo.
Really?
And has done them solo. Hey, let me tell you, Rich is the quote-unquote wild man of the Big East. Because for about a 10-year period, the radio station that he worked for in Washington, D.C., I think, Ernest, it was WWDC, which no longer carries the games.
Yeah.
But for about a 10-year period, his general manager at that station had him do every game of the Big East tournament in New York by himself. He broadcast every game, and that's really where I got to know Rich. Every game. He did every game. Not only the Georgetown game, all of the other games by himself.
Yeah.
He did them all, and he actually lived to tell about it.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. Rich's job, by the way, Rich's job is he's a psychologist, and he's been in the military. And he actually spent a year overseas in Operation Desert Storm back in the early 90s. And that was the 1 year out of the 45, I guess he's been doing, 43, 45, that he's been doing Georgetown. The 1 year that he missed. He's only missed 1 year during that time. And then he's been back ever since. So he's been back for the last, what, 20, 22 years in a row. Because he was overseas doing his duty for God and his country as an Army psychologist.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what he does, and he's the salt of the earth. He's a great guy. So, Ernest, do you feel like you're a man out on an island as a Patriots fan in Washington?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, but, you know, all we have down here is, you know, RG me and, you know.
RG me, but that's good.
I like that.
Yeah. So
I got a real before you go, Ernest. I have a real quick question. Breaking news here, obviously, with Jay Gruden, the brother
Jay
of John Gruden taking
right.
the Redskins job. Is there any scuttlebutt down in your office or in the area there about that hire?
You know, I think for now, because he's not a big name, people are kind of skeptical, and that's what they kind of like, I think, in D.C., the big names and the use of the big signings and that kind of stuff. But I think he'd be a good signing, you know, kind of under the radar coach, you know, sort of a quarterback's coach. I think that's what, you know, RG3 needs right now.
All right.
That's my opinion.
Interesting. All right, Ernest, do you have a prediction for Saturday?
I do. I have the Pats 35, Colts 28.
35-28. So,
that's
about where I'm thinking. I'll be honest with you. That's about where I'm thinking. So you have the Colts slightly covering at 7.5, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, so, 7.5, and that's a 7. So the Patriots cover.
No.
Yeah.
Patriots by 7.5.
No, then he has the Colts covering. He picked the Patriots by 7.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, right?
Sorry. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah,
right.
Actually, you know, that's pretty well thought out. It's pretty well thought out. Now, let me ask you this, though, Ernest. You think the Patriots are hosting the AFC title game, or are we going to Denver?
Oh, that's a good question. I really don't know. You know, it's funny because down in D.C., I listened to 980 and Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been giving some amazing statistics about how the Chargers kind of are, what, the top five in controlling the clock and keeping Peyton Manning on the sidelines, and how the Chargers were the only team that kept kept the Broncos under 400 points offensively. So, I mean, 400 yards offensively. So, looks like they have some sort of formula that works down there. So,
right.
Should be a great game. I hope the Patriots are hosting the AFC Championship. I'd like to see, you know, our guys make it to the Super Bowl once more.
They got to win it this time, though. I'm 0-2.
Got to win it.
I'm 0-2, man.
Yeah, well, I know.
I don't want to cover another losing Super Bowl. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Got to get there first, brother. Ernest,
I just want to tell you guys are great.
Thank you.
We love you down here in D.C. So, go Pat.
Thank you, Ernest, for taking the time to call and tell Rich. Give Rich my best, will you?
Definitely.
All right. You got it.
All right.
Ernest is down in Washington, D.C. All right. We'll get back to the phones here in just a moment, but I want to take some time now to check in with Mike Wells, who covers the Indianapolis Colts for ESPN. He joins us here in the playbook. Mike, it's John and Eric here in Foxborough. Thanks for taking some time today.
Hey, no problem. No problem, guys. You guys doing all right?
We're hanging.
Yeah.
We're hanging. So
I'm ready for some football, though.
We're kind of ready. The whole bye week thing, nobody likes it around here. And I'm sure the Colts are pretty thankful to be, you know, coming in this week, considering they had to come from as far back as they did, this past weekend. So what's the aftermath of that comeback been like in terms of confidence, swagger, what have you, inside that locker room?
I mean, obviously, you got to have a lot of confidence when you're down by 28 points with about 27 minutes left in the football game, and it looks like you're going to be planning your vacation, where you're going to be sitting on the beach drinking some mojitos in a couple of days, and all of a sudden, your franchise quarterback, along with a couple of good defensive plays, you turn it around, and you have the second largest playoff comeback in history. You got to be feeling pretty good about yourself, and that's how the Colts are. But the thing with Coach Chuck Pagano has really preached with this team, no matter if they win by 50 points, lose by 50 points, or lose or win by 1 point, they've got a 24-hour rule. They enjoy the moment, but when that 24-hour span is up, they start focusing on the next opponent, and that's what you got to do when they're about to face a future Hall of Fame quarterback, Tom Brady, and the mastermind coaching of Bill Belichick. You got to leave the past behind you, and you got to focus. And if you're Andrew Luck, you want to leave what happened at Gillette Stadium in 2012 behind you. That was the worst loss of Luck's career. So it's going to be a chess match between Luck and Belichick, I think, on Saturday night.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We asked our listeners yesterday a question about, other than Andrew Luck, who is the player that you most fear on the Indianapolis Colts? And a slight edge belonged to Robert Mathis over T.Y. Hilton. What do you think about that response from a Patriots perspective?
I think the Patriots fans are pretty darn smart, despite some of the nasty tweets I'm getting from them right now on Twitter. I think they're pretty smart, because Andrew Luck, whether T.Y. Hilton's playing good or not, Andrew Luck can still beat you. But Robert Mathis, if I'm Robert Mathis, I'm getting on this plane tomorrow in the Indianapolis airport, and I'm a big puddle of drool going all the way into Gillette Stadium, because as good as Tom Brady is, he's not a mobile quarterback like Luck. And you got a chance to get to him. Everybody has criticized the Colts offensive line for not being able to protect Luck. But when I looked at the numbers earlier this week and saw that Tom Brady had been sacked 40 times and Robert Mathis is probably the front runner for defensive player of the year, you got to feel good like you can get in. But I think Mathis hit it on the head about an hour ago when he met with the media. You can't let the Patriots establish a running game. They get the running game going with Blount and Ridley. That opens it up for Tom Brady to do what he does best, find Julian Edelman and the rest of the receiving core in that play-action game. And I don't think there's any chance in the world that the Colts will be able to beat them if that running game is gone.
That's precisely why when everybody seems to think, oh, the Patriots have to pass the football against a suspect Colts secondary, I'm saying, whoa, wait a minute.
Not right away.
Not right away. Because that's how the Patriots keep Robert Mathis away, establishing the run.
Yeah, Mike.
I think what the Patriots have is what Colts offensive coordinator Temple Hamilton envisioned at the beginning of the season, whether it was Trent Richardson and Ahmad Bradshaw or Vic Ballard or Donald Brown. He envisioned being a run-first team and opening it up offensively to the passing game for Luck. The Patriots had the perfect offensive scheme to keep Robert Mathis at bay with that two-headed monster in the backfield, but they got to run the ball at first. I mean, I think Brown, he's built like a defensive tackle. You look at him, you would not think that he's averaging 5 yards to carry.
Right.
But he's that much of a danger. But the Patriots had, if they get the running game going early, it's going to put the Colts in a tough position offensively and defensively. And then Tom Brady is going to be able to get back their play action, give a couple bounces, hopping back there, and then find his receivers. And they're going to put a lot of points up on the Colts.
Yeah, Mike, I think it's going to look a lot like Week 17 versus Buffalo. It was condition-wise, too. It's going to be rainy and relatively mild compared to what we've had temperature-wise here. But the Patriots came out in that finale and did just that. They ran the ball. I think Blunt got the first four plays of the game were runs with LeGarrette Blunt. And he got, like, I can't remember if it was 5, 6, or 7 of the first 9 or 10 plays were to him. And it just snowballed from there for the offense and for Blunt in particular. And I think that's going to be the game plan against the Colts this weekend, is try to run the ball early again and set up the play-action pass later.
It's funny. You know, going into the Kansas City game, I was like, all right, just the Colts defense is leading the way. I mean, they have played 3 incredible games. But then when Alex Smith, who is, you know, I classify a marginal quarterback, and the Chiefs do not have the best all-around running back, Charles, after the first series, they still managed to put 44 points up on the Colts. I think that's why there's going to be reason for concern. But the one thing everybody's talking about, yeah, the Patriots are undefeated at home, 8-0 in the regular season. You look at the numbers, for half of those victories were by 3 points or less. So I don't want to say that the Patriots are unbeatable at home, but it's a matter of if Andrew Luck can run that no-huddle offense early on and his defense and get forced punts. Don't allow Tom Brady and that offense to, you know, go have those 12-play, 80-yard drives to end with a touchdown, because those are deflating drives, and the Colts' offense is not good enough to put up points very quickly unless they're in desperation mode the way they were last week against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Mike Wells, who covers the Colts for ESPN and ESPN.com, joined us here inside the playbook. How has Trent Richardson progressed since that sort of semi-shocking trade occurred in the middle of the year with Cleveland?
Well, it's funny. He started off slow, then he was like stuck in cement, then they started putting him into the passing game, and I was like, okay, he may not be able to run well, but you can pass the ball to him and let him create things. But then last week against Kansas City, one carry, one fumble, that was the end of Trent Richardson's night.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any more carries. They didn't target him one time in the passing game. So now it's a matter of how Trent can bounce back. A lot of people are ready to throw in the towel on that trade and think that the Cleveland Browns hosed the Colts on it because Indy gave up a first-round pick, which will be somewhere in the 20s, to get Richardson. But I don't think it's ready to throw in. It's not time to throw in the towel on that trade. I think you need to give Trent Richardson a full offseason, work with Andrew Luck before you can really value that trade. I mean, Cleveland's got their own problems over there. But it's been a struggle. It has definitely been a struggle. And at this point, Cleveland has won the trade. But in the long term, I think everything's going to be fine, and Richardson will be teamed in backfield with Luck for years to come.
And then along those same lines, how has, in your estimation anyway, how has Deion Branch adapted to the whirlwind, I'm sure, that's going around, his presence in that locker room, knowing that if he's going to contribute, he's got to get up to speed as soon as possible?
I don't see Deion Branch being a contributor. And even, you know, Chuck Pagano, when he talked to the media today, he didn't sound like, you know, it's going to be a matter of how quickly Branch can grasp things. And Branch talking yesterday, he also was talking along those same lines, like, you know, everything's been a whirlwind. And, of course, you know, the biggest question is, well, can you help the Colts out with Bill Belichick?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick is too darn good of a coach, too smart of a coach to be worried about Deion Branch giving tips. I mean, there's a reason why Belichick is a genius when it comes to being able to disguise schemes and things like that. That's not going to work out. I think the biggest thing that Deion Branch is going to be able to do on Saturday is help the young Colts receivers. because T.Y. Hilton's got the most playoff experience, and that's a whopping 2 football games.
Yep.
So Branch is going to be able to help him out on the sidelines. If he's able to go out there and catch one pass, that's a bonus. That's like hitting the jackpot. But don't expect Deion Branch to come out there and all of a sudden, you know, catch footballs and everything, because it's been almost a year since he's played in the NFL game.
Do you expect him to be active?
You know what? I think he'll be active, but he'll only play in emergency purposes. It'll take an emergency for Deion Branch to be out there lined up out there opposite of T.Y. Hilton and the rest of the receiving group.
All right, so, Mike, then kind of boiling it down here, what do you feel like is the one thing Indianapolis must do in order to win the game here on Saturday night?
Stop the run. Stop the run and make the Patriots a one-dimensional team, because I don't care how good of a passer Tom Brady is, I have no faith in that offensive line that New England has, that they'll be able to protect him with Robert Mathis coming off the edge.
That's, I would have to say that's...
Can't disagree.
Hard for us to disagree with right here. And then on the other end, how do you feel, what's the one thing that Indianapolis can't do in order to win? Is it along the same lines of stopping the run?
As crazy as this sounds, considering what happened last week here at Lucas Oil Stadium, the Colts cannot afford to fall behind early. They're best at playing. They're not a come-from-behind team, especially against Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's what you saw last weekend will not happen this weekend on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to use that no-huddle offense, and they got to take advantage. I mean, you never want to see anybody get injured, and the Colts are the last team that that can talk about injuries, because they've been beat up all year. But they've got to take advantage of the Patriots not having Spice out there. And if Luck and T.Y. Hilton can keep going early, I think that's going to put New England in a tough position, because like I alluded to earlier in this segment, the Patriots are beatable at home, even though they went undefeated at home this year.
True. That's very true. They've managed to pull some out of the fire, obviously. Wondering also very curiously how the locker room reacted to John Gruden calling them a team of destiny.
You know, it's funny. Nobody asked them about it. That's just like, they don't get caught up in the moment. It all starts with Chuck Pagano. I mean, unfortunately, he dealt with the health issue, so Chuck's one of those guys that you enjoy the moment for that at that second, but then you move on and continue that journey to try to get to the Super Bowl. Because somebody asked Robert Mathis today, the fact that they've taken the next step in the playoffs, if they lose Saturday night, is this season considered a success? He goes, unless you get to New York and you win that Super Bowl, the season's a failure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you need to thank Robert Mathis.
Yes. We had this huge debate the last 2 days.
A couple of days ago, yeah.
And I am standing out on an island over here, Mike, saying that any team that doesn't win their championship should consider their season unsuccessful.
I mean, if you don't think that way, it's like playing YMCA basketball. Are you going to get orange slices at halftime and get juice boxes and peanut butter jelly sandwiches after the game?
Preach.
Good job.
Preach.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Finally.
Word.
Finally. Somebody with a brain standing up and taking my side in this argument.
Hey, but you know, if I will say this, guys, I do have the Patriots winning. It'll be a high-scoring game, but I think Tom Brady and the boys will pull it out. I got them winning 35-30 on Saturday night.
35-30.
Well, that's about great. As honest as I think as anybody could possibly be. Mike, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Listen, safe travels this way, all right?
All right, hey, we'll take it. After being below zero temperatures, that's 45-degree kickoff temperature sounds pretty darn good right now.
Yeah. Hey, and Mike, you said you were getting some flack from Patriots fans on Twitter. I just got a word of advice for you. The block button is your friend.
Hey, I'm telling you, I have no mercy in that. I will block you in a heartbeat, and I'll sleep like a baby at night.
My man.
I'm loving this guy.
We'll see you in the press box, Mike, on Sunday.
Thanks a bunch,
right,
Mike, for the time.
Right, so let's take care.
All right, pleasure to talk to you. That's Mike Wells again. Who,
Kindred spirit over there covering
the
Colts.
There you go. He covers the Indianapolis Colts for ESPN and ESPN.com, and that's good stuff.
Great stuff.
That's absolutely outstanding stuff.
One of the best opposing team beat reporter calls we've had this year.
There's no question about that. He's got the insight. He's giving you the lowdown.
Passion.
And he's giving you honesty, which you got to love.
And Eric obviously thinks logically.
No, that's not Mike. He's telling you what Robert Mathis said. And I would expect
Mike didn't disagree with him, did he?
No, but he's, you know, why should he disagree? He's a reporter. It's not up to him to opine on
that one. He's an analyst, too. That's why you had him on the program.
Oh, my God. Eric's got a kindred spirit here. And it's not Mike Wells, it's Robert Mathis, damn it. Oh, my goodness.
I love being vindicated.
No, not entirely. Not entirely, but I will put it to you this way. You know, you had a crumb thrown your way there, brother. That's all I can tell you.
And I'm writing I have commentary this week. I have the op-ed piece in the paper. And guess what I'm writing about?
Success. How about that? Well, see, something for us to look forward to when we get next week's edition of
PFW.
I've
finally, hopefully, done a good enough job explaining my position that I will have some converts to this.
You know, look, here's the thing. I ultimately agree that, you know, at least where we are with this franchise, that if you don't win the Super Bowl, I can certainly understand why you would not consider this a success. So let's continue this for just a moment. Don't forget, 855-PATS-500. Still want your predictions. It is Prediction Thursday. They're slow to come in today, kids. So let's get a move on. Webradio@patriots.com, the email, and @JRBroadcaster on Twitter. John.Rook on Facebook. All right, so get those predictions in. We'll try to give away a couple of yearbooks here if you come up with the right score. We'll let E give his again, and I'm going to give mine here in just a couple of moments. Now, as far as the success thing is concerned, sure, because we're spoiled by the success around here, I understand why anything short of a Super Bowl win should be considered unsuccessful. I hate to go failure, because failure means abject failure. There's no middle ground where failure is concerned. You either win or you don't.
I'll give you that.
Okay?
I'll give you that.
But, so I think there are relative degrees of success, just like there are relative degrees of failure. And you can call being short of the Super Bowl a degree of failure as opposed to a degree of success, correct?
Sure.
All right. Considering that everything this team has gone through this year, I am hedging somewhat and saying that they don't need necessarily to win the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. I want them to, because like I'm a fan like everybody else here, but they don't need to for this to be considered a success in my own mind. And that seems to be the majority of our listeners and those that took the time to respond on Tuesday. I don't think there's anybody that's really out and out disagreeing. We did have a few emailers yesterday tell Eric he's dead ass wrong, but that's okay. That's all right, because I tend to dismiss a lot of the extreme points of view anyway. The answer, my friend, is
blowing in the wind. Right, yeah, okay.
And it's always somewhere in the middle. Always somewhere in the middle. It's never extreme. And so I don't look at abject failure or ultimate success. The answer is always in the middle somewhere.
Almost always.
Makes sense?
Yeah. You're making a lot more sense today than you have the past
wow.
2 days.
Wow. That's just...
Can I just follow up really quickly on somebody who had emailed in to taking me to task on my Johnny Manziel comment yesterday,
sure.
Saying, because I think I said something about, you know, not letting money be the be-all, end-all to your decision-making. And
it was an emailer.
One of your emailers took me to task on that, saying if I had gotten something along the lines, if I had gotten an offer from the Cleveland Browns paying me 3 times as much, what would I say to them? The answer would be no thanks.
Why is that?
Because I don't make decisions based solely on money. I live in New England. I always have. I grew up here. I love it here. I have roots here. I have a house here. This is where I want to live. I choose to live here. Money would not make me leave New England for anything. And also, the type of job is not something I would want to pack up and leave for. I have so many other bigger, more important, more fulfilling things that I need to do with my life, and they don't involve covering high-paid, self-absorbed, spoiled brat athletes for the rest of my life. So if the Cleveland Browns offered me 3 times as much as I'm making now, I would say thanks very much, but no thanks.
I'm going to play Tom Cruise for a moment.
Go ahead.
Show me the money! Is that right? You got one of those, Kev?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. Thank you, Randy.
But so
maybe that's where you and I will differ.
So hopefully that clears up any uncertainty that your email, I forget his name, but
I don't even remember. Yeah, but yes.
Hopefully that clears up any confusion
that
you may have
had
over my position on that.
I think you've made yourself very clear. Luke says, last year all the big national medias made it clear that the great Peyton Manning's offense would beat the Ravens, hands down, no competition. Turns out Manning was being Manning in January. Now this year the Broncos have an even better offense. Hard to conceive that he'd lose cold for a second straight year, but if he does, what do? Do you keep a 38-year-old $20 million choke artist on your team or cope, or do you part ways? It's a little harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, he hasn't had the success that Tom Brady has had in the postseason, and that's certainly the big knock on Peyton Manning, but wow, really? Choke artist? Really? You want to say it, don't you?
He's.
You want to say it. He, say it. Get off the fence. Say it.
You can't blame him for all of the losses. Like last year, he put up, what, 35 points in the loss to the Ravens?
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's being a choke artist.
No,
I think
some
it's
big plays
you got to ask the defense to stop somebody.
Yeah, so you can't entirely put it all on Peyton, but fact remains that he's not the most reliable in the playoffs.
Okay.
Choke artist might be a little extreme, but you certainly can't bank on him. And to be fair, in the latter half of his career, you haven't been able to bank on Tom Brady in huge games.
Yeah, I know. I know, that's also true. Oz in New Jersey. Oz, you're in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing? I'm a first-time caller.
Thanks, Oz. Appreciate the time today, man.
Hey, Oz, good that you called today. I just went and saw Wicked last night for the first time.
Well, was it good?
It was Wicked awesome.
From work, but I always listen to you guys when I download you guys on the podcast.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time to do that.
I just have just a couple points that I just wanted to throw out there that not a lot of people are talking about. Which is just a little bit surprising to me, is number one, I feel like they're always asking to play a 60-minute game. And 2 weeks ago, I think we finally first saw that when we went into the Ravens' house and we beat a physical team. Last week, in the rain, it was flooding out there, and we saw LeGarrette Blount just put the team on its back. With a week of rest, I feel like this team can actually progress to play another great 60-minute game. I don't know. I just feel that way about this team.
Okay.
Well, hope you're right. It'd be nice to see.
You know, usually when we peak into December, and then we'll actually have a bye. How many byes have we had now and no success at the end of the day?
I think they've had nine.
I think nine byes. We set the record, NFL record, since the merger.
Since 1990,
since they went into this format.
Eight under Belichick, I believe it
correct.
Is.
Eight out of the nine byes, but nine byes overall, which is more than any other team in the NFL.
So I just, you know, hopefully Brady can come out there, the defense can come out there, LeGarrette Blount. You know, I keep saying LeGarrette Blount, but I just feel like any day could be anyone's day, you know what I mean? Like, we don't really, this has been the year where no Gronk. The running game has been inconsistent. The O-line, Brady's been sacked 40 times this year. So, you know, at least nobody can say that he hasn't been hit yet because he's been hit all around. I mean, personally, I just would like to see them just come out and just give it their all against the Colts. I believe people are forgetting that the Colts have beat the Seahawks, the 49ers. They beat the best of the best. This is a team we can't overlook.
Yeah, they have some good wins this year.
There's no question. All right, give us a pick then. What do you think, Oz?
I think the Patriots eventually pull it out, even though I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game. I got 24-21. Patriots with a last-second field goal by Gostkowski.
Wow.
Okay.
I think Eric had 24-20.
I had 24-20, yeah. All so right. Yeah, we're almost simpatico there.
Even if the Patriots' offense come out and play as best as they can, unless you get help from special teams and a pick six or something, I don't think we're in the 30s anymore. This is not the Patriots of old. This is into a new regime with an offense. And without Dobson now, even though every time he got deep, he dropped the ball unless he was wide open. I mean, I don't know who's going to stretch the field this time. We've been asking for somebody to stretch the field for so long now. And still can't do it.
I also think part of the low scoring is going to be attributed to the fact that they are trying to run the ball. And in so doing, you run out the clock and you have fewer opportunities to put points on the board.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
All right,
if it
Oz.
Rains again, hey, give it to LeGarrette.
Absolutely.
And it's supposed to rain.
Better than 55% chance. I really believe that's going to be part of the game plan. Absolutely. Oz, thanks for the phone call, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys. Keep doing the good work. I love listening to you guys.
Hey, Oz, hopefully you're not stuck in traffic in New Jersey either, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I'm home. I took the day off. It's my birthday. I'm over here listening to you guys.
Happy birthday,
my man. It's a birthday week for us
here. Thank you very much,
guys.
Nice job. For Super Bowl.
Nice.
I've been praying for this. Every year I have the same birthday wish, and, you know, I work in New York, so just to tell you guys that having to work around Jets and Giants fans is just demoralizing and killing me every time we lose in the playoffs. But
those two Super Bowls, too, the Giants must have been.
I'm just happy about you never know this year.
You're exactly right. That's good stuff.
And it's in New Jersey, so hopefully that's a sign of good things for you.
Oh, yeah. Aside from listening to all the Eagles fans. But
I mean, you know, I'm in South Jersey, so.
Gotcha.
Trust me, when they see me around my Patriots game, I'm neutral, so they just think of me and probably hurts them a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Good stuff, Oz. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate
it. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. You bet. All right, let's sneak in Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia here. Hello, Big Al.
Hey, fellas. I guess Eric's all excited to get that guy from Indianapolis to ride his horsey on that standard for a good season.
Well, you know,
it was Robert Mathis that said it.
Big Al, if you had gotten someone to agree with you about Tim Tebow inside the five, then maybe you'd be excited too. But, you know, that's not going to happen.
Love it.
Back it up to the 10. Back it up to the 10. You're going to throw it around, Eric. Get it right.
All right. My bad. Sorry.
I love it. That's great.
No. Anyways, listen. Yeah, Robert Mathis is giving you the ball player's perspective. Okay. I'm a fan. I don't have to have that perspective. I understand the ball player wants to win every game. He's got a short career, whatever. John Madden and most of these coaches, I promise you, they want to make the playoffs because that's what keeps their jobs. And as a fan, I have the same perspective. I remember the seasons. I go back 40 years with the Pats. I almost 50. And you tend to remember the years that they made the playoffs as being good years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it depends. I think, John says there's different levels. That's probably true also. But I think it also depends on your perspective. If you're a fan, you might have one perspective. If you're a ball player, you might have one. If you're a coach, you might have one. And, for Robert, game and bat 1,000. God bless. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just not my perspective. But anyways, okay. I'm picking the Pats.
And the score is?
Less close than people think.
All right, give
2-1.
It. All right, give it again because
Your signal's breaking up there, Al, so I might have to do that again.
Oh, I'm sorry. My Vonage device must be out of control here.
All right.
31-17. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. 31-17.
All right.
31-17.
14-point
victory.
Okay. Thanks, Al. So he says 31-17. Your pick was 24-20.
24-20, and they host the AFC title game the next week because the San Diego Chargers will go to Denver and beat the
Broncos.
Manning and the Broncos.
All right. I'm going to go. I have to admit. Thank you. I have to admit, Eric, I'm going to agree with you on San Diego.
Good man. You're one of the few.
I think we're going to host the game. The AFC Championship game, I think we are.
So much for that dark cloud playbook, huh?
Yeah, I know. Dark cloud, I know. Yeah,
We're all negative around here. Yeah.
I know. I will say, however, that
all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Thank you, Rick.
You're right.
Rick, you're right. Totally. And I would have to say, though, that I think that the Colts will probably cover the spread slightly. So I'm going with, I believe I heard 31-23 earlier. Actually, my score is Patriots 30, Colts 23.
Okay.
7 points.
7 points.
I think the Patriots score late to pull away. That's what I think.
Oh.
And then the Colts will probably have the last possession, needing a touchdown to tie, and the Patriots come up with a stop or a pick. That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
That'd be good because I really want to use my cover idea, luck runs out.
Luck runs out?
Mm.
For the cover of PFW?
The post-game cover.
Right. Mm. Okay. I like it. So a slight cover by a half a point for the Colts, but the Patriots win. And then I also like San Diego next week. So I'm going to say it'll be the Patriots and the Chargers in the AFC title game here at Gillette. Now, doesn't mean that's going to happen, but I've actually thought as strong about the Chargers winning as I have about the Patriots winning this week.
I'm actually more confident in the Chargers winning, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a
team of destiny thing.
Yeah, just like last year with the Ravens going in there. I feel the same way as I did that week.
Well, one way or the other, I think we'll probably find out real quick. All right, before we get to the word of the day, Dave in Connecticut, you got a prediction for us?
Real quick, because I got to run.
Dave.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Good.
Real quick,
my word for the day to start with. I actually think that you're going to watch the New England running game matriculate down this field against the Colts.
Good job, Hank Stram.
Matriculate.
Okay. And just really take Andrew Luck and have him sit on the sideline and limit his attempts on the field. I really do. I think that's what we need to do. And I agree with both of you guys. I really love the Chargers against Denver.
Nice.
And, you know, I think that we're going to be hosting the AFC Championship game, boys.
All right.
Give me the score.
What's the score?
My score is 28-17.
28-17 Patriots over the Colts. All right, we'll still continue to take your cards and letters on the score prediction on Prediction Thursday. We'll keep the phone lines open for you. Don't forget webradio@patriots.com, the email address. It's always easy to fire off a tweet to, at JR Broadcaster is where you send it. But before we let Eric go, we need to get some knowledge.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Got anything choice today?
I'm going to go with unctuous.
Unctuous?
How's that grab you?
Wait, no, it's unctuous and not unctuous?
Unctuous.
Okay.
Unctuous.
Okay.
Unctuous.
Okay.
Take a gander. Do you care to?
Isn't that sort of like being, now I might be thinking unctuous, but isn't that sort of being like obnoxious?
No, not really.
All right, so what is unctuous?
Unctuous is if you meet somebody who you find a little sleazy. Questionable character.
An unctuous character
unctuous,
is someone who is...
That's the main definition.
Okay.
Sort of sleazy and questionable, sketchy character.
Sketchy, all right.
Secondary definition would be exaggerated or sort of manufactured or affected flattery.
Okay.
Someone who's like going over the top... trying to ingratiate themselves to you, but
that's where I would come up with obnoxious, because that's kind of how I couple that together. But
okay.
Yeah, insincerity would be another one.
Yeah.
Sure, I get that. Okay, I see where you're going with it. Yeah.
So
your prediction. Let's see. We always try to tailor this to the day.
Yeah,
I know. So your prediction had a bit of unctuousness to it. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
No, of course not.
No, again, we don't always tie it in.
That's my challenge. My challenge.
Your challenge.
When you give the word every week, my challenge is to use it in a present context.
All right. How about this then? Our guest analyst covering the Colts was
anything
but
unctuous. Yeah. Okay. I agree with that.
How's that?
That works. All right. Get your unctuous butt out of here and go work. See you on Saturday, bro.
You will.
All right. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly, going to get in a timeout. Then we bring in the guru, Russell Baxter, in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
Straight from Tribe 54, the one and only Russell Baxter. ProFootballGuru.com, Cold Hard Football Facts, Yahoo Sports et al. Good afternoon, Russell.
I don't think that's ever going to get old. It really is hysterical.
It is pretty funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love it. Love it to death. Is this, easy to say, is this still Christmas time for you right now?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And there's a definitive theme to these playoffs. You know, we've got a lot of rematches and a lot of causes for revenge and... there's also such a difference this year, John, between the conferences. The offensive, more oriented AFC, and the very, very, very defensive oriented NFC in terms of the teams that are remaining.
No question about that. And you wonder which one is actually going to play itself out. You always hear the old adage that, you know, defense wins championships. I don't know if that, you know, kind of gets put by the wayside this year, or if whichever team does have the best defense actually finds a way to win. That's, I think, part of the curiosity factor that I think we all have for this year's playoff round.
I don't think there's any question about it. You look at the NFC, and of the five teams in the league that gave up the fewest yards, four of them are in the NFC alive for the playoffs. Number one, Seattle. Number two, Carolina. Number four, New Orleans. And number five, San Francisco. Now, I know people get, well, what points is what counts, right, John? It's not yards, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, Seattle gave up the fewest points in the league this year. And Carolina gave up the second fewest.
Mm-hmm.
And San Francisco gave up the third fewest.
Mm-hmm.
And New Orleans gave up the fourth fewest.
How about that?
Next.
Really?
So in other words, no matter which way you slice it. I mean, who had the most sacks in the league this year? Seattle with 60. Who had the most takeaways and interceptions? I'm sorry, Carolina had the most sacks. Seattle had the most takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a theme here. And listen, I mean, look at the NFC. The sixth seed won 11 games.
Yep.
Okay, now I know Green Bay was 8-7-1 and a division champion. Okay, but they also got into the playoffs using four different quarterbacks too,
mm-hmm.
which is a cause for their resiliency. But I think the right teams won last week. We didn't have them all in my Super Bowl. So much for my Super Bowl selection this year. I'm not gonna be repeating like I was last season. I think I refer to the weekend as a Lawrence Welk weekend. We had a blowout and a one and a two and a three.
I like it. A one and a two and a... See, there's nobody that's going to get that besides me or you. We're way, way over. It's just on everybody's head right there.
Well, I put that on Facebook, and I will admit, it wasn't like any of my nieces and nephews were responding.
No, they didn't. They didn't get that. No. All right, let's start then with the NFC games because they actually are the early games, the afternoon games on both Saturday and Sunday. I don't know if that says anything or not, but nevertheless, that's what the NFL schedule makers say. Saints at Seahawks Saturday afternoon before the Colts and the Patriots that night. 4:35 Eastern time is the kickoff. Fox has the national television coverage. How can the Saints win in Seattle?
Well, if they do what they did last week. I mean, if I would have told you that the Saints were facing the number one rushing attack in the NFL and one team ran for 185 yards and the other ran for 80,
mm-hmm.
you would assume that it was the Eagles that came up with the 185. But it wasn't. It was the Saints that came up with the 185. They actually ran the ball more than they threw last week. They built a lead. They lost the lead. They never stopped running. Very, very balanced. It's what worked and enabled them to win in Philadelphia last week. When they played earlier this year, before and the dawn's early light came out of somebody's mouth, the Saints were behind. A tip pass, Michael Bennett ran it back. And I think they just kind of got overwhelmed by the moment. But give credit to Seattle. You hold the New Orleans Saints to 188 yards of total offense. That's doing something. I don't care if you're playing them, on an ice rink. That's pretty impressive.
Right.
And they did it. They did a number on Sean Payton's team. But, this is still a quarterback and a head coach. We talk about Brady and Belichick all the time. But this is Sean Payton and Drew Brees in the playoffs for the fourth time in 5 years. And I know they lost the game up there last week, but, remember when they played on Monday night this year, the game we just mentioned? How many times did you think we were going to see the highlight of Marshawn Lynch running over the New Orleans defense?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, how many times do you think you're going to see it this week?
Yeah.
You can double that. And, that'll be a little bit of the theme. But, the Seahawks have not been overly sharp the last 3 or 4 weeks. I do think they will win the game. But I think you're going to see New Orleans' best effort here. I don't think there's any question about it.
Just going to say, while the Saints seem to, have rolled up, some ground yards, they haven't been able to score in any of their road games. They haven't scored. I think one of the things that you've pointed out as well in mm-hmm. one of your pieces this week was they have yet to score 30 in any of their 9 road games this year. And with the Seahawks being the number one scoring defense in the league, to me, that's, and the fact that they're at home, I know that they haven't been, great late, but that seems to me a good as arena as an any to kind of feel like Seahawks will figure out a way to squeak one out here.
And that's been the beauty of the Seahawks this year. They have, when they were on the road in the middle of the year, they did not play well at St. Louis. They did not play well. They did not play well at home against Tampa Bay, if you go back. But the difference between last year's Seahawks and I think this year's Seahawks is this team can play poorly, not that they choose to, and find a way to win. And it's still remarkable to me that if you go back to the beginning of last season, and whether you want to call it the Pete Carroll or the Russell Wilson era, whatever you want to call it, they have lost, if you include the playoffs, they've lost 9 games, okay? And not one of those 9 losses has been more by 7 points. So when they lose, they're always in the game. That's my point.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They definitely are. So you think Seattle obviously will hold on here. Let's flip it to the other game, the early game on Sunday, San Francisco and Carolina. And the 49ers, have been, you know, not a great but not a horrible team rushing the football. Carolina has actually been a pretty stout team defensively, and some of the numbers that you've put up have kind of backed that up. Is this one going to simply come down to, I don't know, the thing that playoff games always comes down to, and that's usually mistakes?
Well, it could, although this is two teams that don't make a lot of mistakes. I mean, it's funny. San Francisco is plus 12 in turnover differential. Carolina is plus 11. One team committed 19 turnovers, one committed 18 turnovers. Both of them have 30 takeaways. And you wonder why they played a 10-9 one-point game.
Yep.
When they played earlier. Mm-hmm. But I think the difference in this game, at least to me, is the playoff experience of San Francisco. They are in the playoffs for the third year in a row. They've obviously already won a playoff game. This is a different beast for Carolina. Now, don't get me wrong, Alaric, but Carolina's won 11 of his last 12 games. Remarkable after a 1-3 start. They were the first team in 5 years, John, to make the playoffs after losing their first two games.
Right.
And they were 1-3. And then, they're like I said, they're on an 11-1 roll. They gave up the fewest total touchdowns in the league this year, 21. They had the most sacks, 60. 60 is that's a hefty total. That's a really hefty total. By the way, if you're looking for a clinic on how to play linebacker, this might be a good game to watch. Alden Smith, Ahmad Brooks, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis. Should I go on?
Pretty good linebackers, yeah.
That would be like the Chiefs and the Steelers playing in the 70s when it was Bobby Bell, Willie Lanier, Jack Lambert, and Jack Hamm. You know, I mean, that's what you're talking about here. And also some pretty good defensive linemen, led by Greg Hardy. For the people who don't know who Greg Hardy is, he wound up finishing with 15 sacks this season. John, he had 7 sacks in the last 2 games.
Yeah.
Now, 7 sacks is a pretty good year for some people.
Right.
You know, but 7 sacks, he has 1/4 of their 15. They still have Charles Johnson. They have a very formidable defensive front. They're also going against a very formidable offensive line in the 49ers. Some people would argue that's the best offensive line in the league. But, you know, I think the playoff experience from top to bottom, I mean, Colin, you know, this is Cam Newton's first start, Luke Kuechly's first start, Greg Hardy. You know, the Panthers haven't been in the playoffs in 5 years. And I think in a game of intangibles, which I think this is, that's what I think will be the difference. I don't know if it's for the sake of just being fun, I'll say San Francisco wins 12-11.
Wow. Yeah, it's a little better than 10-9 last time. I have to admit that the key for me is whether or not, you know, Carolina's defense can put pressure on Kaepernick, because I know that they have at times, you know, given up some sacks. I think they gave up, what, 39 sacks this year?
Mm-hmm.
So if Carolina can put that kind of pressure on him, then I think Carolina can win the game. But if the offensive line keeps him relatively clean, I agree. I really like San Francisco's experience here.
Well, I'll say something here for what it's worth. I believe, regardless of what happens Saturday, that the winner of the Carolina-San Francisco game is the team going to the Super Bowl from the NFC.
Really?
Yes.
You know, funny you should say that, because I've been thinking that all week long myself, honestly.
And that's right, because, John, I've been reading your email.
No, you haven't.
Kevin has been sending it to me, along with a wonderful gift. But he also includes, like, no, I'm just kidding. But I really think that. I really do believe that. I know Seattle is incredible at home, but as we found out, they're not unbeatable. But something just gives me a sense, because of the style of football, and Seattle plays a similar style, so don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
There's something about getting out of this game with Carolina, or getting out of this game with San Francisco, if you want a team, I think is going to make them very, very gritty going into next week's NFC title game.
Yeah, I actually am right there in lockstep with you. We'll go to the AFC games now, San Diego at Denver. Both Eric Scalavino and I like San Diego's chances in this one, and we both actually have gone out on the limb and said San Diego is the team of destiny, and they're going to play here in Foxborough next week. How crazy are we?
Well, you're not crazy, because I like San Diego a lot.
Wow.
The weather is great. My favorite sushi restaurant is out there.
we all know that's important.
Listen, San Diego, football is a game of matchups.
Yep.
Okay? And obviously what they do really rubs the Denver Broncos the wrong way. Denver was held under 30 points 3 times this year, both times by San Diego. Both times San Diego held the ball for more than 38 minutes. One game they lost, one game they won.
Mm-hmm.
And what to me was very, very interesting, that just shows you how much this is a different philosophy. Phillip Rivers, who was what, 12 or 16 last week, not, you know, 30 or 40 in a 17-point win.
Mm-hmm.
They're balanced, they're tough, they're relentless, and they're growing in confidence. But talk about a turnaround for a guy like Phillip Rivers. In two games against the Broncos alone last season, he turned over the ball 9 times. Six on a Monday night, in which they blew a 24-0 lead. I'm sure you'll remember that game.
Sure.
And then 3 more in Denver. And in both games combined this year, the San Diego Chargers did not turn over the football against the Denver Broncos.
Amazing. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the orange. I don't know. Does that make San Diego a better team? Because I'm trying to put my finger on it. There's really no reason why they should play better. They just seem to.
Well, by the way, it's finding a formula, okay? 94 years of professional football. Look this up. No quarterback's ever thrown a touchdown pass from the sidelines, okay?
Yep.
And, listen, 2004, AFC Divisional Playoffs, Corey Dillon, Foxborough, 49 touchdown passes that year by Peyton Manning,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 more in the playoffs against Denver, 3 points. At Foxborough, because he was on the bench most of the time.
Right.
That's how you beat these high-powered offenses. We know that, and we know the history of the high-powered offenses. The top, you know, excluding this year because we don't know what Denver's going to do yet, but the top 7 scoring teams in the history of the NFL in one season, none of them won the Super Bowl. And Denver, you know, Denver's averaging 38 points a game this year. 37.9, 38 points a game, but why everybody is still hesitant on the Broncos. And it's so funny because I know, well, it's Peyton Manning and he's going to, listen, the Denver Broncos gave up 399 points this year.
Yep.
That's 110 more than they did last year. Okay? And last year they scored 35 points at home and still lost the playoff game. Okay? So there's a lot of different ways to go here, but here's why I like Denver, and it'll be tough, and I think it should be tough. Because I think last year they almost kind of got lulled into a sense of, I don't want to say overconfidence, but remember last year they coasted the division title, John.
Yeah.
They won 13 games last year. The other 3 teams in the AFC West won 13 games combined. They went into Baltimore late last year and smoked the Ravens in their own building. And then they come out and they host the Ravens. And, you know, once momentum gets going, they weren't able to stop them. Now, I know everyone wants to blame Raheem Moore, but that was a total team. They gave up 479 total yards last year at home
mm-hmm.
to the Baltimore Ravens, including 155 on the ground.
Right.
So Denver's defense, and listen, you can count on your one finger how many great defenses Peyton Manning is. Listen, there's a reason he's scoring 606 points this year. They are, because they can't really stop anybody.
Right.
So what the Denver Broncos need to do more than anything else is beat the San Diego Chargers and do to the Chargers what could be done to them.
Sure.
And
sure.
I think because it's been such a roller coaster and tough ride to win the West this week here with Kansas City and San Diego making the playoffs, I think these Broncos are a little more battle tested.
Yeah. That's probably what will happen, but I'll stick with my prediction. All right.
Oh,
so
why not?
Yeah. Well, you know, why not? It's not like life or death, right? And then, the Colts.
Well, life 7, death nothing. I mean, hang on a second.
Exactly. We better hope that life has a big lead.
Yes.
Colts.
Well, hey, life always covers. Don't yeah, for a bit
life
that.
Does cover. That's very true. All right. So the Colts and the Pats, here on Saturday night. You know, I don't know that you can put any stock in what happened here in the regular season a year ago. And I know the Patriots don't, but at the same time, to me, the big key here is not whether or not the Patriots can take advantage of a Colts secondary that has been suspect. To me, it's the Patriots' ability to continue to run the football as well as they have recently, especially when it's liable to be slick, and whether or not they can keep the ball at Andrew Luck's hands. What do you think?
Well, and that was the fatal flaw for the Chiefs last week. You know, as we all know, they blew the 28-point lead. They didn't run the ball in the second half. Still mystifying to me.
Yep.
I never thought that Andy Reid would take a page out of the Jason Garrett playbook. Okay, and I'm not trying to be cruel, but you know, you've got the lead. I understand your defense isn't great, but you got to milk the clock a little, and they failed to do that. To New England, to me, and that game last year was wild. Two pick sixes and a punt return for a touchdown out make up the 59 points. I'm going to be real intrigued to see how far the Colts could fall behind, because it's twofold for me with Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has this great record in comebacks, okay? And it's been well documented these last 2 years. But on the other hand, Andrew Luck is also one of the reasons they fall behind, because of the interception.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this year he did a much better job taking care of the football, but he didn't do a great job, obviously, taking care of the football, and the Chiefs gave me three picks. So now I talk about the beauty of Andrew Luck, because he seems to shrug off his mistakes as good as any quarterback I've ever seen. You know, much like Eli Manning. Yeah, I'll throw five picks, but maybe I'll throw six touchdowns. And that's kind of what Andrew Luck does. So you've got to stay on him, and much like these are giving, you know, football in the playoffs is not making mistakes and controlling the ball. And I think New England will have an excellent chance of doing that. I know they're probably concerned about Robert Mathis, who, if you include last week's game, John,
sure, right,
had 20.5 sacks and 9 forced fumbles.
Yep.
Because he had a big one last week. And there's one way to stop him. Either put 3 guys on him or let him sit on the sideline.
Right.
Okay?
And I think that's what will happen. I think the Patriots will try to hold on to the ball. They'll control it as best they can, and they'll try to limit Mathis' effectiveness on the end, without question.
Right. Yeah, listen, I'm not saying it's going to be like this. I can remember a game when the Bills beat the Chiefs in the 93 AFC title game. And obviously, Derek Thomas was a Hall of Fame player. Neil Smith was a great player. But they were rendered ineffective in a game against the Bills because they couldn't stop the run, and they were basically yanked. Now, I'm not saying Robert Mathis can't stop the run, but his forte is rushing the passer. He has almost half of the team's sacks this year. He is their, without question, their big playmaker on defense. It's still not a great defense. I'm trying to remember last time the Colts really had a great defense. And I think that's the issue here. New England's, here's one of the best kept secrets in the world. I know you know this because of what you do. Think about all the issues we talked about the Patriots offense this year.
Mm-hmm.
All the things with Brady, all the things with the receivers, et cetera, et cetera. New England Patriots scored the third highest points in the league this year.
Right.
Does anybody know that?
With all the problems they had, they still were number 3 in scoring offense.
Yes. 1 point behind the Bears.
Right.
Who were 445, they were 444. Now, Denver was, you know, we know where Denver was. They were 606.
Right.
But still, think about all we talked about with New England and their offense this year. They didn't score 500. They only scored 444.
Right.
Third in the league.
Still sounds like some capability.
Sure, if you walked up to somebody and asked them, they would think maybe 9th, 10th, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they wound up with the third highest point. And there's a lot to be. That's why they are what they are. That's why who they are is who they are. And, I think the Colts will make some plays in this game. But I don't know how often they're going to have the time to make a lot of plays.
Yeah. I think it's spot on. All right, so if you considering then where you're looking at where these divisional games, I know you've had to make a little bit of a change in your Super Bowl prediction because one of your teams got beat last week. So what have you adjusted to?
Well, I'm going to just go to this week, and I think New England will be at Denver next week.
Okay.
And I think San Francisco will be at Seattle next week.
Okay. All right. So it'll come from those four.
I've already let the cat out of the bag about San Francisco.
Right.
Because I think I would have to really think, and I'm not copping out on you.
No, that's fine.
But I don't know New England Denver because I saw Denver take a 24-0 lead on that team
mm-hmm.
in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Denver's defense, you know, as much as we talk about New England's defense, guess which of the 8 teams remaining in the playoffs has given up the most points this year? That'd be the Denver Broncos.
Denver, correct, yeah.
Okay, so when you play defense the way they play defense, even if New England is having an off day, they'll be on at Mile High.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So, I mean, that's going to be the tricky part there, and so on. But I'll take 3 home teams this week, which is usually the formula in divisional playoffs, and I'll take San Francisco with a sacrifice fly in the top of the 10th.
On the road. Thanks, Russell. Appreciate that. Good to talk to you, as always, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru, ProFootballGuru.com, Cold Hard Football Facts. Got a good piece up on CFF right now, so if you want to check that out, you can do that. Also find him on Bleacher Report and, of course, on Yahoo Sports throughout the web. All right, let's get a timeout in here. We're going to come back and continue with some of your predictions. Webradio at Patriots.com. A little time for you to sneak in on the phone still at 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number, or hit me up on Twitter at JR Broadcaster. Prediction Thursday continues. Solomon Wilcox, NFL on CBS, coming up in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Prediction Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. Joel from Atlanta says Pats over Colts 33-10, and I don't care about any other game. Okay, that's fair, but 33-10, really? Robin in Alaska. Kevin, what was the song you played at the end of PFW in Progress today? You know what that song was, Kevin?
Yeah, it was the song Uprising by the band Muse.
Muse?
M-U-S-E.
M-U-S-E.
The song is called Uprising.
Uprising. I don't think I paid attention to it. You still have it? He's going to find it now. I should pay attention.
Kind of spacey.
Yeah. That's all right. It's got a little kick to it, right? All right, so there you go, Robin. All set for you there, buddy. Trying to help you out. Luke says, John, thank God it's the playoffs. About time. I understand that this game can be regarded as a hard-fought game, but it won't be. This is 2012, the Houston Texans divisional repeat. I expect this Patriots offensive line to overpower, the running backs to tank, a poised Brady, and a defense that forces turnovers. I cannot cope with the Broncos. I just can't give Manning a pass. He is what he is in January. Broncos choke. San Francisco wins. Seattle wins. Hopefully not because Pete Carroll is such a tool. Tell us how you really feel. Josh from Charlottesville, Virginia. Happy New Year. Don't have much time to talk this afternoon, but I would like to submit my prediction. I'm calling the game Patriots win 31-23. I think Brady and Blount will give the Colts fits. I do expect them to neutralize Mathis just like they did Watt. I wish I could have called it in as it's possible that this could be the end of the season if only today weren't so pressing, but wishing you guys the best and go Pats. All right, Josh in Seville, thank you. Appreciate that. All right, let's move on now. And joining us here on Inside the Playbook, Solomon Wilcots from the NFL on CBS. He also does several other programs both online and on Sirius XM, and he joined us here on Patriots.com. Solomon, John Rook here. How are you?
Hey, John. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time today. Appreciate it. Can you give us your initial thoughts then on where you think Indianapolis and New England might sort of come down? I mean, we all know the typical, hey, it's going to come down to field position. It's going to come down to turnovers. But the way that we've sort of looked at it really is there's an obvious advantage that's kind of staring the Patriots in the face. Indianapolis has had trouble defending the pass, so this like screams for maybe Tom Brady to try to crank it up, but not really, only because it may very well be to their advantage to keep Robert Mathis as occupied as they can and off the field maybe on the sideline, and that would indicate a running game. So how are you looking at it?
I totally agree, John. For me, I think the Patriots' ability to run the ball and keep, you know, Andrew Luck is a formidable opponent. I mean, I think Bill Belichick will tell you that. I'm sure his defensive staff will tell you that. This kid's got all the tools. He's got the potential to be one of the great ones. And so if you can keep him on the sideline and run the football, I think it does a lot of it. It protects Tom Brady, protects you from Robert Mathis wrecking your game plan. He wants to create turnovers. And that's the only way I think the Patriots will lose this game, if they start putting the ball on the ground, start turning it over, have things like that happen and feed into the momentum of the Indianapolis Colts. And then Andrew Luck, he is going to keep slugging. Now, he ain't going to wave the white flag of surrender. He's going to be in there in the fourth quarter trying to give his team a chance to win games. This Colts team, John, has beaten the likes of Denver this year. They've beaten Seattle this year. They've beaten the 49ers this year. They've beaten some of the best teams in the NFL, and I think that has gone unnoticed.
Yeah, that's certainly, I think, some of the, you know, some of the factors that have to be involved here. Overall, you know, we expect also that there will be, a little bit of wet stuff here in New England, which maybe also lends itself to, the previous couple of games where they've run the ball with bad conditions as well. I also think that Chuck Pagano, he's no fool. This guy certainly knows how to beat a New England Patriots team, having been with Baltimore a few years back with a big win here in New England. It certainly sounds like, you know, fans and even television, they'd love to see, you know, Luck and Brady match up, and then they'd love next week to see maybe Brady and Manning match up. But it sounds to me like it's going to be other guys involved here that really decide who wins and who loses.
Yeah, that means you gotta stop T.Y. Hilton, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way the Patriots are gonna not double cover him or do some things to take him away and force Andrew Luck to go elsewhere with the football. I think you gotta do that. And for the most part, you know, the Colts have been one dimensional. They haven't run the ball particularly well. Trent Richardson has not been a good trade, not been a good factor. One carry last week, one fumble, and they kept him on the bench. Donald Brown is a guy you gotta watch out for, but it all starts with Andrew Luck and him just being smart with the football, hitting his check down, knowing where to go with the ball. I mean, he can stay alive. He's so big and strong and standing in the pocket.
Yeah.
He has a tendency to stay alive. And even if you get an early three and outs against him, he just keeps slugging. But I think the Patriots defensively got to make him one dimensional. You can't let him run the ball. With the Patriots, when I heard they lost Brandon Spicer, my heart went out to him because he's already without Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork, and Tommy Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guys are going to have to play well in order to keep this offense for the Colts hemmed in.
I could not agree more. As far as the potential opponent for either New England or Indianapolis coming up this week, do you give San Diego more of a puncher's chance than say, you know, a regular upset type of victim here only because of what they were able to accomplish against the Broncos in the regular season?
Oh, man. I call them the most dangerous team in the AFC right now. Their paradigm of belief allows them to step on a football field with a confidence and a swagger that you really need in the postseason. And what I mean by that is their context for confidence has substance because they've held this Denver Broncos offense to the lowest point total of the season, 20 points in that Week 15 contest. They dominated time of possession. They ran the ball with authority. They kept Peyton Manning on the sideline and went into Denver
and won that game. In fact, they held them to a mediocre point total in both games this season. So Mike McCoy, who had coached Peyton Manning as the OC in Denver there 1 year ago, he knows Peyton. He knows his personnel well. I think John Pagano does a wonderful job of getting his defense ready against Peyton. So you know how those divisional rivals are. They're the last team that you want to see for the third time this year. And I think if the Broncos were to be truthful, they would tell you that.
Yeah. Do you believe, and do you get any sense that anybody else believes in this whole team of destiny thing that the Chargers are being called in some instances?
You know, well, what does that mean, team of destiny? It's like these teams that kind of find themselves as they head into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
They face so much adversity in the regular season. They know they have no business being here, but by good fortune and a lot of hard work, kind of like the Ravens a year ago, how did they get to the playoffs without Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed having not played in the same regular season game? Not one did they play in a game together in the regular season, but they find themselves in the playoffs saying, oh, I can't believe we're here, but now that we're here, let's do some damage. Let's kind of get it together. Everybody ready? All hands on deck? And it's a renewed sense of energy when you're afforded that opportunity. And that's what they do. And they went out to Cincinnati last week. And Phillip Rivers only attempted 16 passes, and they still win the game. They rushed for 190-plus yards in that game. So, yeah, I buy into – that's what I mean by the substance of their confidence. It's for real. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's not contrived. They have a reason to feel confident, and that goes a long way in the postseason.
Solomon, I think both of the games in the NFC present some unique challenges, some great matchups. I think they'll actually both be quite exciting. I really like the San Francisco-Carolina game and think that the survivor there, like some others, could end up being the NFC representative overall. And I'm not trying to soft sell Seattle by any stretch, but I don't know. It seems to me that both of those teams have a bit of an edge to them. Do you kind of follow where I'm going?
Oh, it's called defense. It's called a heavyweight punch on defense.
Yep.
You know, you take two linebackers like Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis and put them behind a defensive line with Alden Smith and Justin Smith up front. Now, that's a front seven now, and they're going to make you go through hell and back to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
And the most underrated defense in this league is that of the Carolina Panthers. They've got a front four that's really dominant and physical. They got some linebackers and Tommy Davis and Luke Kuechly that can really flat out play. They fly around. This Luke Kuechly, I don't know if you've seen him, but this kid can flat out play. And he's young. And he hits, hurries, and hustle to every ball. They're going to make you earn it, too. When you play against those kind of teams with those kind of defenses, you already know in order to beat them, you have to kill them. And that's not easy to do. You're not going to just get lucky and beat these football teams. You don't have to earn every single inch and every single point.
Absolutely. Kuechly's just got that innate knack to go to where the football is headed without being told he's got to go that way, and I think that's one of the things that's most impressive about his ability.
There's no doubt. I know him. I live in Cincinnati. I watched him play in high school. He went to St. X, went to BC.
Yep.
I watched his kid when he was in high school, and then you watch him go to college where he just led the nation in tackles. He's playing the same way he did when he was in high school, when he was in college. You nailed it. He's an instinctive player who just can diagnose plays based on, formations, personnel grouping, down and distance. And he doesn't wait for permission. He just goes and makes a play.
Sure.
And those are some of the things you can't coach.
Sure. Well, I know you're probably not in the business of predictions, but there are a couple of teams that you like to stand out above the others this week.
Man, this time of year, I just enjoy the best players playing the best games. It's phenomenal. You got the best coaches. You got the best quarterbacks. And, I'm an old school guy. I still believe in defense. I know a lot of people think it's totally different. I know they're trying to create rules to make defense obsolete. But I think teams like the Patriots, teams like, the Saints and the Seahawks, the Carolina Panthers, the 49ers, they'll tell you defense matters. And I just enjoy watching the game. I won't pick them because I'm going to be home this weekend. I just want to enjoy it and not have anything on the line but just watching a good football game.
Sounds like a plan to me. Thanks, Solomon, for the time today. Sure appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Solomon Wilcox, NFL on CBS. And, of course, the NFL games this weekend. Where's my schedule? Where did my schedule go, Kevin? I can't find my schedule. I knew I was going to plug their games this weekend. Oh, yeah, of course. Ha. The Patriots, of course, are on CBS Sunday night at 8:15 Eastern. And then the CBS game, they've got, the two AFC games. The other AFC game would be at 4:40 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday, which is the Chargers at the Broncos. So there you go. That's the CBS NFL coverage for the weekend. All right, let me get back to some of the other predictions that we've actually had thrown out here. I'm going to look at Twitter here right now, and Ray says Patriots will be heading to the AFC Championship game with a 31-24 win over the Colts. Go Pats. Okay, very good. And let's see, where are we else here? I think I had a couple of others. Oh, Nick says pick for the Pats game, New England to win it 37-31. Patriots play overall a good game, Boston strong. Tim also says 31-20 Patriots. Sent that in just a couple of moments ago as well on Twitter. Facebook chimes in as well. Mary Beth says, Pats 24, Colts 20. Did you have a chance to see the piece on Wilfork last night on Showtime Sports 60? Really liked it. I didn't, but I did think I do believe I recorded it, so I'll go back and look at it later. Dave on Facebook says, John, I'm taking the Pats 34-20 this week. Sounds like the same score. Since I already won a yearbook this year, if I win this week and we tank it all the way to the Super Bowl, I'm buying the first round in New York. Woohoo! Yes! Maybe I can get you to Professor Tom's this time. You couldn't make it a few months ago when you were at the Barclays Center. I'm in! Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. Yeah, I recall that conversation. Thank you, sir. And then Sean says, John, my score prediction for Saturday's game, 35-17. Patriots will get ahead early, control the pace of the game. Blunt and Ridley will have success running the ball for a few scores. Brady will hook up with Minitron for a touchdown. Colts will try to rally but will fall short due to a turnover or two. And as for the rest of the games, I'm picking the Chargers over Denver. So if I'm right, next weekend the Patriots will host the AFC Championship. Also, the 49ers and Saints will beat the Seahawks and Panthers. Oh, picking New Orleans. You might be the only one I've heard that from, Sean. Setting up one last NFC championship game at Candlestick. So enjoy the games, everyone, and have a great weekend. I don't know how we couldn't. I think it'll be a great weekend, without a doubt. Amir says, New England 27, Indianapolis 21. He also predicts the others. He says Carolina over San Francisco 17-13, Seattle 33-10 over New Orleans, Denver beat San Diego 38-24. So he says then by those predictions, he'll have New England traveling to Denver for the AFC title game. Brett says, John, I believe the end score Saturday evening will be Patriots 31, Colts 21. Mark it down, and that's the only game I care about. In fact, you only live once says, yep, the same thing. Pats 31-21. I think T.Y. Hilton will have some success early, but halftime adjustments come and New England pulls away. I like all of it. I like all of it. All right, let me see where my the rest of my Facebook. Here we go. Yes. Trey in Dallas says, Patriots 31, Colts 27. Our buddy Steve in Killeen, Texas, Pats 31, Colts 24. At home, I just believe the Pats will control the tempo and field position because they will be able to run the ball. Also, I believe the Broncos will be shocked. Shocked, I tell you, at home in a crushing upset, and the AFC Championship will go through Gillette. Robin in Alaska, 31-28, Pats win. Vinatieri just misses a game-tying field goal at the end. Oh, now that would be crushing. He says Fred has a near-death experience, and then Eric talks all next week about how the Patriots actually lost the game. Then we can get back to some really good negativity around here, right? Love that. Kareem says it will be a close one, final score 28-21 Patriots. Also, I would like to add this season tells a lot about overcoming roadblocks. Win or lose, I can't change being a fan. That won't change. You guys give honest opinions, and I like that. Thank you, Kareem, from Connecticut. GB, I think TB12 throws a lot of screen passes and returns to the dink and dunk ways of the past. Yards after the catch, the old yak, becomes a big deal as the shifty Pats backs run through a weak secondary 34-17. Patriots win. Fat Beaver says, Rook, what is Hooman's role and expectations now? Because he's officially the starting tight end for the remainder of the year. Currently, the Patriots really only have two productive receivers, Julian and Danny. They need a minimum of involvement from Hooman. This offense needs an extra offensive body. Okay. Well, his role is exactly what it has been. Now, he might take a little bit more of the Gronk-type role because they feel like he can get out and he can catch a ball or two, but his role has been to block, so I don't really see that that's going to change a heck of a lot from where it has been previously. I mean, you're not going to get Gronk. He's injured. You're not going to get anybody to play Gronk because there's nobody that can physically stand up to that. But they brought, you know, Hooman in here for a reason because they liked what he did in St. Louis. Josh McDaniels was a part of that, for better or for worse. And so he feels like he can be effective. My guess would be if Indianapolis sleeps on him, they'll try to find him. But he's not a primary target. His primary role is to block. Kirk in Ringe, New Hampshire. John, my score prediction, Patriots 34, Colts 23. Go Pats, he says. Mo in Vienna, Virginia. I think the Patriots are going to keep Luck off the field with a strong running game followed by play action and domination of the line of scrimmage. Ninkovich and Salinga will stuff the Colts line. He says the score is Pats 34, Colts 14. We still have a lot of folks stepping out in the in terms of shall we say, large point spreads here, don't we? Darwin. John, I think the running game is the key. Run right at Mathis. My prediction for the game is Patriots 31, Colts 23. He says, the show is great. Now send me my yearbook. Darwin in South Florida. And Darwin, I absolutely will, as long as the score is 31-23. I predicted 30-23 for the Patriots, FYI, so we were close. Michael in Copenhagen, Denmark, back from Qatar. He says, guys, my fantasy season was going great. Oh, okay, now this is for the fantasy guys. All right, we'll leave it there for the fantasy guys then. We'll leave it there for you. Gustavo, my score prediction, Colts 34, Pats 37. Ha! Ground game will be unstoppable, opening up the air attack. Pats control the game from start to finish. But, Gustavo, you kind of make it close, don't you? Yeah, you kind of make it close there, 34-37. Drew in Bowie says weather is a factor. Pats win 19-16 in overtime. And then he says, unfortunately, the Broncos will cruise over San Diego 42-10. Brian sends me one little interesting factoid here before we go. Tom Brady has thrown more touchdowns to receivers on the other three AFC teams in the playoffs than he has to people on his team. Amazing. It's probably because the Colts now have Deion Branch in the fold, right? But that is a pretty good little factoid. And I would not have thought of even getting to that until you brought it up just now. So that's actually kind of cool. All right, the Patriots have released the Thursday practice report just prior to 4 p.m. Eastern time as we hit the 4 o'clock hour. I don't know if I can get this to open up, Kev. Let me see if I can get it to open up. Hold on.
I can try to open it if you can.
Let me see if I can get it here. Is it going to open? Yes, it will on this computer. Hallelujah. All right, so Aaron Dobson again today did not participate. Eric did tell us that earlier. And then limited participation from Arrington, Dennard, Fletcher, Gregory, Mankins, McCourty, Svitek, Tompkins, Vereen, and then full participation from Amendola and Brady, who get listed every week anyway. So I can't say that there's really any surprise there at all. For the Colts, Darius Heyward-Bey did not participate. You have Franklin, the nose tackle, who didn't participate yesterday, but he did participate today, so he was back for the Colts. Khalid Holmes, the cornerback, limited yesterday, full today, as was LaRon Landry and Josh McNary. So important, perhaps defensive adds to the Colts practice report today, with Franklin, Holmes, Landry, McNary all back for the Colts. Now you get a quick look at the participation slash injury report today. All right, thanks to our guest today. Obviously, this was an action-packed day, and it was really cool to have everybody in there. Oh, Kyle's here in Ohio. I didn't see the call in here. Kyle, you're in the playbook. You get the last word today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, I was just trying to say my prediction, 31-21. I think I already put it on Facebook, but I wanted to add a little something extra into there. I think Mathis will have no sacks. I think we'll shut him down. Cannon will have a good game. I think a couple other guys, Logan Ryan, will have a pick. Luck, be disoriented. Chandler Jones will get to him a couple of times. I think we'll have a very good defensive game. Still put up three touchdowns, but I think we'll have a very good defensive game for us today.
That's a pretty good upbeat prediction to end with. I like that, Kyle. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
You got it. All right, so Kyle in Ohio says 31-21. For the Patriots. Well, regardless of whatever happens this week, kids, as you all know, that once the season does end for the Patriots, we always come back for a wrap-up show. So win or lose, we'll be back here in the playbook at least next Tuesday. But if they win, then obviously we have a full week of programming to talk about in terms of leading up to a potential AFC championship game, whether it be here against the San Diego Chargers or there against the Denver Broncos. One or the other, but you got to get by the Colts on Saturday night, and we'll talk about that. We'll nitpick it to death, I'm sure, on Tuesday's program. Thanks to Mike Wells, the ESPN beat reporter for the Indianapolis Colts. Thanks also, of course, as always, to Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru, and Solomon Wilcox from the NFL on CBS for joining us in the playbook today. Kev, thanks to you. Thanks to E. Scal. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the playoffs. It's one of the best football weekends of the entire year. You know it. I know it. Enjoy it. What you gotta say? All you're giving me is fiction. I'm a sorry sucker, and this happens all the time. I find out that everybody talks, everybody talks, everybody talks. It started with a whisper, and now it's when I kissed her, and then she made my lips turn. I can hear the chit chat.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.